Hello and welcome to a reaction podcast. We don't normally do these. My name is Claire Wilde and I am your host. We usually record a very civilized podcast, which is all prepared, and we've got a lovely rundown on a Tuesday, which goes out on a Wednesday. But Lorenzo Pacitti is here with me, who usually does that with me. But tonight we were at the Glasgow City game in Airdrie, and I think we're still recovering, right, Lorenzo?
Yeah, vibes only. Fumes, vibes, cold steak pie. What else did I have? A cup of tea. Usually I'll go through two pies out of nervousness at these games, but I went for a pre-match pie, and I'm still running on those fumes.
So you're someone who eats more when they're stressed out rather than...
I'm a big stress eater. That Lazio game, I went through three or four packets of things that are in our cupboard.
We wanted to do a reaction to this game just because I feel like we've kind of been building to this point almost this season. Like, this was the first big test, and it's the first season and the first period of sort of spell of any season we've had for a while where we haven't met one of the kind of big rivals early on. So we've kind of gone on this unbeaten run. So this was going to be really, obviously we've had the European test, which was a big challenge, but to play Glasgow City, it was always going to be massive, wasn't it? Especially, you know, straight after an international break and a cup game, just going straight back into the league.
Yeah, usually we get these really unlucky fixture draws where we kind of have to bed a new team in, and the first game we play is against the champions, or it's against Rangers. So when we saw the fixture list come out and we had this run up until City, I think you would have thought in a dream scenario that we bed in this new team, we pick up a little bit of steam, and we can give City a really good game, and we'll be in a much better position. And it's really worked out exactly like that. I mean, the start we've had to the season has been pretty flawless domestically. The team has really come together. The new signings have really bedded in. Everyone seems very familiar with each other, and they're a very tight group. So for the City game to fall when it has, like you say, after an international break, in the midst of their kind of European campaign, it was kind of a perfect storm that Celtic had to capitalise on.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, it was kind of a weird timing for the fixture as well, just because these are two teams who both have played in Europe, and so are now kind of... it was like a catch-up game, so I think we were a game behind. So Rangers had been sitting at the top of the league, and, you know, it's kind of always funny going into these fixtures when that's at stake as well. Like, you've kind of fallen behind, and you think, right, if we win this because of the result that City and Rangers had, because they've already played each other, this is a huge opportunity to go ahead. And so I don't know, arriving at the stadium tonight, I was just like jangling. Like, I was such a bag of nerves. I don't know about you. There was all that kind of how early to get there logistics stuff to deal with.
Yeah, I got there very early for a change, actually. I really erred on the side of caution, and thankfully I did. I was able to buy a mug before the game kicked off.
There was a merch stall, which was nice.
Yeah, but I think that what we've found following this team is there's something about a three-horse race. And, you know, we compete in the Scottish Premiership with the men's team, where we're used to a two-horse race, and it comes with its own, you know, weight of how you can't drop points. In this three-horse race, it almost feels more brutal because you're falling behind two, you know, other kind of generally flawless teams domestically. So every time we get one of these fixtures, which come pretty regularly, they come with such a weight on them, and a cup final type feel. And it does just feel every time you play one of these derbies in this league that your season's hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
And because of the start we've had, the form we've been on, it just has felt this season like we're in pole position without being literally first on the table. And tonight was the night we had to cement that.
Like, yeah, everyone talks about fine margins in football all the time, but in this league, anyone who's followed it for any significant period of time, very quickly gets to understand quite just how fine these margins are. And that, you know, I was sitting today before the game in the kitchen just saying, you know, we have to win the league, and it means we have to win this game. We just have to. Which is why kind of my nerves were shot before we'd even started. Let's talk about the actual game. We're going to talk now just about our reaction to the game straight away. It's going to be pretty emotional because it was quite a high stress event, I would say. But we're going to do our regular episode this week as well, where we'll rewatch the game, we'll kind of be a little bit more analytical. We'll like properly look at chances and goals and maybe some of the stats and things and break it down a bit more. But I think at this point, let's just talk about the kind of overall feeling you got when you thought, right, because we just didn't know how there's been so many changes on both sides. We've had so many changes of personnel. They've had so many changes of personnel. We've got the same coach. They've got Leanne Ross as their new permanent coach. You know, there's just a lot of unknowns. So I think we were all going into this thinking, how do these two sides even match up at this stage? We've beaten them twice, but it could be at least twice in the last couple of games. But how is it going to be? And I don't know, what's your impression of how we faced up to them? Obviously, we won the game.
Yeah, I really, obviously, like you say, there was a lot of unknowns in terms of how they match up to us. I've been kind of semi-impressed with them. I think they have a few players of real quality, but I don't think they've kind of fleshed out the rest of that squad the way they might have liked to. I think there were a few new signings who looked great. I think Lauren Davison is always such a threat. You've got Leah Alexander in goals, or Lee Gibson, I should say, who you can really trust. But I wasn't that impressed, I'll be honest. I think we'll talk about the game as a whole, but there was a lot of kind of inept decisions in the final third by both teams.
Yeah.
They just came with no real threat. I think, like, you can watch that game and you see, like, Fulton's a great player, and the big new centre-half they signed is a pretty dominant player. They look good. Some of the players look good. As a team, they really were quite blunt. They didn't seem to have much of a threat. They didn't put Doherty under a lot of stress until it was kind of backs to the wall desperation time.
Yeah. I thought that the first 15 to 20 minutes, like, we came out the traps and we were kind of dominating the ball. It looked like we were the team who were on top. And then there was a kind of wobble at about between the 15th and 20th minute where it started to turn in my head, and I started to think, oh dear, we're letting them in here. And then I worried that the momentum was just going to shift and it was just going to go the other way somehow.
It was a very even game. I think both teams had their moments, and every time we play City, it's incredibly even. There's a lot of nullifying each other when we play City, and the games can be quite high stress and kind of low action.
Yeah.
Which this one kind of proved to be again. But I thought maybe a change in the dynamic of the games between us is how much we did dominate the ball when we were on top. I think even when Celtic dominate a game, we don't necessarily dominate all the ball. We don't hold the ball more than we have to. But there seemed to be an effort today to get your foot on the ball a wee bit more and keep it away from City and take control of the game. And when we were playing well, the common thread was that our players were taking control of the ball, weren't rushing things, were making, you know, smarter decisions. So that seemed like a little bit of a sea change in maybe how we're matching up to City.
Yeah. It was a game of two halves in many respects. The first half, like we've been talking about, you know, fairly evenly matched. The momentum felt like it kept swinging this way and that, and it ended 0-0, which kind of reflected what we'd seen on the pitch, I think. And I think, what were you thinking at half time? Because I think, you know, I was still kind of, I was nervous. We were talking to a few people around us, people saying, we've got this, this is going to be fine. And I was like, never say that. That's a really worrying thing to say. would you have taken a draw at that stage? Because it felt like that's how it might have ended.
It definitely felt like a draw was on the cards. Dead even game, but it did feel like City were there for the taking. They just weren't, as much as the game was even, they weren't frightening. They weren't threatening at all. I think our centre-halves were sweeping up everything. Barkley in particular, for the first half, I think she defended brilliantly. Davidson was just anonymous the first half. And it felt like we had levels to go up. We've seen this team this season, and there were a few players in the park who really didn't get on the ball for us.
Yeah, it was frustrating. We'll talk about this a bit more on Wednesday's episode, but like, I think we talked about it at the game, that we've got this kind of, I keep doing this motion with my hand, because it's like you've got these players who Fran puts on the wing. So you've got Celia Barkley on the right and you've got Lou on the left who start this game. Barkley, who's a much more defensive player. Lou, who we've talked about endlessly, really wants to go in and attack and can get right up forward and has scored goals this season. So you've kind of got an imbalance in the way that the team operates. And we just had nothing going up the left-hand side in the first half. And it was frustrating because you kept seeing Lou in space and going, why are we doing nothing with this when we actually haven't really got that attacking threat in the same way on the other side?
Yeah, it was strange because Barkley to me is very much a defender. You know, she can play the right back, she could play centre half maybe, even though she's a wee bit undersized. But she seems like she's a great defender, she's a great awareness, great tackler, but going forward she looks like a defender, personally. And like you say, the opposing wing is maybe our most dynamic attacking threat. As much as Lou had a pretty off game tonight, I thought, yeah, the first half she was really starved of the ball. Oskarsson's a really good player, the right back who was on her, but it didn't seem like we were feeding Lou enough. And I think in games that we do really well, we really force the ball to Lou. Whereas it felt like we were really forcing it down the right and it was just hitting a brick wall.
Yeah, it was really frustrating to watch that. And I think when it got to halftime and it, you know, clearly something had to change. I think the change that Fran made was that he brought Paola Partido on for Murphy Agnew. I've heard that I think maybe Agnew also, we'll talk about Caitlin Hayes' injury briefly, but that she had some ice on her knee at the end or something, that maybe she's not. But it also, we didn't think that was due to injury. Maybe we thought that was due to kind of mixing things up a bit. And I think that we did see Partido provide more of an attacking threat in the second half, didn't we? Her speed and her movement on the ball was doing things that Agnew seemingly wasn't sort of able to manage to pull off in the first half.
Yeah, Agnew kind of felt like a square peg in a round hole in that midfield. First half, she was finding it hard to get on the ball to make an impact. Partido's a lot more direct and a lot more obvious almost than where you can play her. And it changed the formation a little bit to something we're more comfortable in. We said that when the game started, like, how is that midfield going to actually look? And it didn't look great in the first half. It looked pretty disjointed. It wasn't really until Shen came on that I think it looked a lot more natural.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cav really got to run riot. But Partido coming on definitely brought a bit more of a semblance of an attacking threat in terms of the way we were styled up.
Yeah. I'm aware that it's really tempting for us to kind of go into the finer details of this, and we do want to save some of it for next week. But I think, like, let's talk about the key points. Obviously, we get the penalty. I haven't watched any of this back, and I think you and I were discussing as we were leaving the stadium, like, because I was thinking, oh, we're going to talk about this after. I might make some notes. There was no way I was making notes tonight. I was just, like, head in hands or screaming or jumping or shouting, whatever, the whole night. But I think, you know, conceding that penalty and Chloe Craig stepping up, you being nervous about her taking it and saying, she's going to miss this. And I was like, we were both in our row, we were like, shut up, absolutely not. Of course Chloe Craig scores, that's what she does, she scores penalties.
But that's why I thought she would miss it, because of course she should score it. That's,
I know, but this is what we think every time she steps up. You are kind of waiting for the one that she misses. She scores it, we go one up. The penalty also resulted in them having someone sent off. Kenzie Weir was sent off, and then they go down to 10. However, they still somehow, I didn't really realise how much of a deflection, and it was basically an own goal that they didn't even really score. I mean, they obviously did score a goal, but they didn't actually score a goal, if you know what I mean. So they equalise, and that was, like, you know, obviously hugely drama filled. And then we're just watching the clock, and it's worth, if you're at a game, Airdrie, they've suddenly decided that they are going to use, there's like a very, very quite small, quite shit clock that you can see with, and it's like a scoreboard clock, but it's like a bit random as to what team, how often they update it, and, like, you know, when that all, like, whether you can actually see. So you're kind of watching the time. When it went to, as soon as it went to added time at the end of the game, the time just disappeared, which is absolutely when you need the time. But anyway, it's fine. They equalised, and did you kind of think at that point again, like, are we going for a draw here? The substitutions that Fran made, bringing on basically defensive options in Natalie Ross and Sydney Cummings, makes you think he was going to make sure he was protecting the point, maybe?
I actually think when you look at those substitutions and how they played out, they were more defensive players, but I think they were attacking subs. I think the way Fran lined that team up after those subs was to go for it. We should have won that game. The chance was there, the red card. We were on top that second half. He knew that a point was as good as a loss. You know, Glasgow City would have killed for that point. He had to go for it. And I think what Ross did coming on was a bit of experience, who could put their foot on the ball and not rush things and start to play football again, because we have an extra man. And I thought she did that really well. She was also great, you know, just in and around the box, making smart decisions, getting rid of things. The centre-half sub is just, I think, maybe Hayes's race was run with that knee injury.
Yeah.
And when you're going to be, you know, chasing a goal, you need the centre-halves who can spray the ball about and who can maybe have a better recovery pace if the pass goes awry. So having a hobbling Hayes was maybe not the best.
Yeah. Caitlin Hayes' injury, I think, is a lot of Celtic fans' greatest fear. And it sort of came to pass this evening when she went down. She hobbled off the park, and then, because I don't know, because she's Caitlin Hayes or something, we were all sure Sydney Cummings was warming up. We were like, the substitution's going to be made. You could see the coaching staff discussing it. All of a sudden, she's back on, because of course she is. As we've said, you know, we've seen her fall, knock her head on a block of cement and get back up and keep playing a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and she's incredible. Obviously, the scary things with knee injuries in the women's game, it just seems, you know, it's as scary as it gets when somebody goes down with an injury like that. So you've got your fingers crossed. But we saw, you know, Caroline Weir for Scotland play on for 20 minutes with an ACL injury. You know, I trust the physios. I trust Caitlin. I think the impression I got off watching the physios, maybe that she kind of jarred her knee.
Yeah.
And it was just a sore one. And, you know, she was battling through it, and it just came to the point where she's still limping. So fingers crossed. But, you know, the minute she came back on, she might have been hobbling, but she made about four clearing headers in that 30 seconds after she came on. She still does her job. Yeah. So, you know, all credit to her. She's amazing.
We'll talk through the actual, like, physical, like, how it was manifested of the winner from Colette Kavanagh, but just talk us through how you felt when that went in the 88th minute.
Perfect that it was Kavanagh. I thought she was unbelievable tonight. I mean, in a game that was so scrappy at times, she just thrived. And I think we were so poor when we went, you know,
she's the scrappiest of scrappy players, and I mean that in like a 100% positive way.
Yeah, she's in total control. When we had that extra player, she just, I think the team was kind of rubbish when we had the extra player. And the minute we were suddenly chasing a second goal, Cav just, a switch flicked on her, and she went, just, I think everything she did was perfect. Every decision she made was right. Every tackle she made was super hard and aggressive in that kind of way where it just sucks the life out of the opposition. Even just the way she took the goal, it was just measured and powerful, and everything about her in that last 25 minutes was exemplary and exactly what you need from a Celtic midfielder. So it was perfect she got it.
There was something about after she scored that goal and the crowd went absolutely wild. Like, it felt a bit different to goals we've seen at Airdrie before. Like, it felt again like it was another slight shift in like the dynamic of the game, because she did a proper celebration. She like came up to the crowd. Everyone was shouting her name. Everyone, it was just, obviously, I think we can sort of put the Celtic Park games in a separate category, because that's just a totally different thing. But to kind of get that, I don't know, did you feel it as well?
Yeah, I think it's people are just much more aware of the stakes. People are, I think when you consider Celtic fans becoming aware of the Celtic women as a team, that's one thing. But becoming aware of the league as a whole and where we sit and the history of the league in terms of how big it would be to win this league and how Glasgow City consistently win this league, and that they're in Europe and they're doing well and they're a good side and they've got internationals. So that weight of expectation for being Celtic was there. You could hear that in the crowd, the discontent at bad passes, the expectation is there. But there's also that awareness that if we do win, it's huge. It's a huge effort. It's a massive momentum shift. And it's just such an important goal. And you felt that in the celebration, that like relief and euphoria at the same time after what was, as anxiety-inducing a game of football as you can kind of manifest.
You're talking about the response of the crowd to like everything that was happening on the pitch. There was quite a lot of response of the crowd to the refereeing tonight. Should we just quick? We don't often like focus on refereeing very much, but do you want to? Have you got anything to say about it?
Yeah, there's a lot of shite refereeing in the SWPL. There really is. And a lot of it does have to do with inconsistencies in what's a foul, and in particular, inconsistencies in who gets booked.
Yeah.
And tonight, that was really at its worst. We watched, like, I mean, I'd love to see the stats on how many fouls Glasgow City committed, the ones that even got called for. Celtic committed kind of a handful of fouls to pick up three bookings, you know.
Yeah, I might have a look into the stats for this for when we record on Tuesday.
And then eventually, you know, I mean, when he gave the penalty, thank God the penalty was a no-brainer. But yeah, I mean, people, I think there's almost something comforting in the discontent you hear in the crowd, because I don't know, I've kind of always said this and been debating with myself about whether it's an appropriate thing or not, or good or not, but I do think it's inevitable that the more mainstream the Women's League gets, and the more every week fans that go to both games or will watch both games, the maybe a bit nastier the crowd's going to have to get. Do you know what I mean? And I mean that kind of a good way.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have segregation of the fans tonight.
We didn't, but we kind of did. I think it wasn't official, but it did seem like the City fans, like when they scored their goal, you could hear that there was a section.
There was a little portion, but it's the... I don't know, we said this before, but I don't have anything against Glasgow City. I think what they've done for women's football is unbelievable and probably incomparable. But going to Celtic City games, the horns, the noise, the things their fans say, I am sick of that team.
Yes. I mean, it's just, I'm still buzzing from us managing to get that win when that, like, you know, even that, you know, 7 minutes going up on the board for added time, obviously with the injuries and things, we knew it was going to be long, but just I turned to the person next to me and just went, this is going to be the worst bit, like just getting through this 7 minutes. Do you know what I mean? It's awful, but we did it. And when the whistle goes and we get it, and Fran immediately turns to the crowd and kind of loses it, and the whole team is running together, it's just, it was like an unbelievable feeling, wasn't it? And to get that, and to now be 8 games in the league unbeaten, including Glasgow City, Hearts and Hibs as well. We still haven't played Rangers. That's on the 22nd. But it's incredible, and we're 2 points clear.
Yeah, and I think...
Which sounds tiny, but it's big.
Well, the flip side of that as well is that if City had beat us or had come away with that draw, they would have been unbeaten having played both Rangers and Celtic. So that's the thing about this tight race, is that, you know, the classic 6-pointer thing, that, you know, if you beat one of these teams around you, you really take away their advantage to catch up to you. You've already swiped away 3 points. So the momentum City would have gained from that, then not having to play either of us for a while, going on their European adventure, they could have really been in a good position. So for Celtic to move into this kind of second portion of the season as top dogs, and, you know, come the domestic games in hand, and hopefully play Rangers with that kind of momentum and that first place in the league up for grabs, we can really kind of put a foothold in this top of the table.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a good point to end on. I mean, we are at the top of the table at the moment. Everyone knows it's early in the season, and there's a lot of games to play. Our next game is Motherwell at home on Sunday. So we'll be talking about that next week as well. If you're listening to this on the free feed and you haven't listened to us before, we record, as we said, a podcast about the comings and goings and shenanigans of Celtic FC women every week. We talk about the games, we talk about any news, we sometimes stretch it out into the kind of wider world of women's football if it affects Scotland and Celtic, and we'll maybe touch on the national team on occasion. But yeah, so have a look, thecynic.co, if you want to have a listen to that. But it's just lovely to be able to come home from that game, Lorenzo, and be recording this with smiles on our faces.
Yep, I mean, we've been doing this for a few years now, and MD that got involved at those Parkhead games will have felt that, you know, very Celtic thing of so close, but not quite there. The end of last season, just failing at, not even falling at the last hurdle, just at falling away from us. So when we can get these big games, feel like we've been the better team and come away with 3 points, that is that's amazing to feel. And it really just feels like a season that's, this kind of has to be the one. I don't know. It's so early in the season, but it feels like this is the one. It has to be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's been a delight. We'll kind of go and... I might go and have a wee drink or something, calm my nerves. But it's been a delight to talk to you properly about this, Lorenzo. Thank you very much.
Pleasure as always.
He's been Lorenzo Pacitti. I've been Claire Wilde. This has been our immediate reaction to Celtic 2, Glasgow City 1. Thank you very much for listening.